thank you all for that. And now may I gather us together around the reading of God's Word. And today it's in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I would also like to read 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. 1 John 4, 9 through 12. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. So what is love? 1 John says, and this is love, that God reached out to us by the sending of his Son. You see, encapsulated in the story that we just read about Mary and Joseph, examples of love. I'd like to hold up to you first the example of Joseph, just a common, ordinary man who was asked to do something very extraordinary. And that was to be the primary caretaker and protector of the Son of God. How would you like that, guys, to be given that task, that you were going to be the primary caretaker and protector of the Son of God? Well, Joseph was given that task. I want you also, guys, to reflect on this, that the children God has blessed you with when they receive Christ as Savior are sons and daughters of God. And that you are given that responsibility to be that primary caretaker and protector and sharer of the love of Christ with them. The figure that we have of Joseph was one that came very suddenly upon him, but we see in his character and makeup how he had already begun to express the characteristics of a loving and kind heart. Back in those days, it was very, very hard on a young woman who was found to be expectant without a husband. We all know how those kinds of things go around communities when it happens nowadays. But there was a very harsh punishment that could happen upon her. She could be stoned. When Joseph found out that Mary was with child, he would think, like any of the rest of us would think, that something had happened, that she had been unfaithful to the arrangements that he had made and that his family has made between his family and hers. Betrothment back then was very serious. It wasn't like engagement that we have now, which should be serious as well. But betrothment back there was almost like a marriage. It just had not been finalized, had not been consummated yet. But when Joseph received that news, he wanted to do the right thing because he was a man of God. And that right thing was that he could not go through with this marriage because it was presumed Mary had been unfaithful. But even in wanting to do the right thing, he still showed love and grace toward Mary. Because Scripture says that he wanted to do it privately. He wanted to divorce her, if you will, privately. In other words, let's not make a big deal about it. Let's not go to the Sanhedrin. Let's not expose her to more ridicule and shame. And you see, men and women, young men and women, we do the right thing and we're called to do the right thing. But as Scripture encourages us to do, we can do the right thing with a loving, graceful heart. We can be people who stand for righteousness, but we stand in the footprint of love and grace as Joseph did that day. Yes, we call out sin. Yes, we are to abstain from it. Yes, we are to help people overcome it. But Scripture calls us to speak that truth that God gives to us about the nature of sin and its effect upon us and the results of it and the victory that we have over it in Christ. But to speak of that in love, speaking the truth in love. And so there is a compassion that we are given by God the Father in this story of Christmas, where God the Father reached out to us and delivered unto us the greatest gift of love that he could. And that was a way to help us to overcome the sin that had us downtrodden, the sin that had us captured, the sin that wanted to rule over us in our lives. God delivered to us a way that we could overcome it through Christ, the gift of his Son. What we will be celebrating here in about a week is that great gift of Christ that God has delivered to his people. But because we celebrate it yearly, because we hear about it in our Sunday schools and at other times, it can become so commonplace to us that we lose the full force and the full power of it. Like anything, it can become just to us a story and not the penetrating gift of love and the reason that that gift of love was given in the first place. And that was because sin had ruled over mankind for so long and God had to intervene. God had to give to us a means to overcome. So in order for us to see it's the full relevance of that Christmas story, the good news of the gospel of Christ that was announced by that angel to the shepherds that we talked about last week, that good news then had to come within the midst of a bad situation. Israel was a very dark place at that particular time. They did not like those who were in leadership positions over them. That sound similar? They did not like the way that their country was going. They had begun to lose hope that they would never again be the people that they felt like they needed to be. And now they were being required to gather up all that they had and go by foot or donkey back or carts or however they could get there back to the hometown, so that they could be counted, so that this census could be taken. Didn't matter if you were very pregnant like Mary was. Didn't matter. You were required to go to the town. You were to satisfy the ruling authority over you. And so they go. And so that commitment that Joseph had to his family, that commitment that God changed his mind about, because as I said, he was going to pull her away privately. He was showing her love and compassion. And when God changed his mind, he became the loving, dedicated father that God needed him to be, the protector of his family. And so he carried his wife there to his hometown. And as you know the story, there was no place for them to have the child. And so a place was made, perhaps in the bottom of a dwelling. But a place was made and a means of placing the child was given. And so even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of disappointment, even in the midst of all of the darkness that was going on around them, God sent His light. And He used this little family to bring His light into the world. So the point there that I'd like for you to contemplate on for this particular time that we're in is, how does God use your little family to bring His light into the world? Joseph became the father figure that God wanted him to become. And he took care of his family in the midst of bleakness and darkness and uncertainty by being a figure of love and sharing that love with them. And in so doing, God used that to bring His light to a very dark world. And so as we contemplate how our family can be used to bring that light into the world, let me take you to another place. Where did this love originate? How do we come to know what love is? 1 John tells us that love comes from God. He was the model of it. He was the originator of it. Christ's existence did not begin in Bethlehem. Christ existed before the foundation of the world was laid. His virgin birth took place in Bethlehem. But Christ existed as a member of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whose very existence and bonding together speaks of what true love is. That true love that comes from God, and as it overflows from that bonding that holds the Trinity together, because see, they're different people, but they're bound together by being God. There's a common bond that runs within the Trinity, even though they are diverse in their responsibilities and our salvation. And so in our households, we have that diversity, men and women, boys and girls, each with different characteristics, each with different ways of looking at the world. And we also have that in our churches, the diversity that we have, men and women, different backgrounds that come together to worship. What holds us together is the common bond of love. And that is represented to us in the Trinity. And that is given to us as an example of what true love is and how we are to reflect that love in our relationships. You see, people can be different. People can hold different opinions. People can have different outlooks on life. We can have different backgrounds, different means. But we can come together as the body of Christ because of what our commonalities are. That is being held together by the love of God, who sent Christ into the world to die for us so that through His blood, our sins could be forgiven. And so what binds us together in Christ is stronger than what separates us by our characteristics, by our skin colors, by our different traits that God has given to us. This lesson of love that is ours and the gift of Christ is to be shared. Parents, grandparents, others who care about our young people and others. We give our children so much. I think all of us can agree on that. Our children have a lot. And we do so many things for them. And we want them to be great people. But what happens sometimes in the midst of all of that showering with love, as we call it, where we give them so much, is that we fail to stress the most important gift of love that we can give our children or others, and that is the gift of Christ. We take our children so many places. We do so many things with them. We want them to have a good time. We want them to enjoy themselves. We want them to learn. We want them to be the young men and women that we would like to see them to step out into the community and become independent and start raising their families on their own and sharing these traits with them as well. But in all of what we desire for our children, never forget the greatest gift that we can give our children is the gift of the Christ child. And the love that He has, and the love that He can share, and the love that we share with our children that originates in Christ. In all of the stuff that we're going to give our children this Christmas, don't forget how important it is to give them Christ. How do we give them Christ? 1 John 4 has that example. We're to give them Christ by representing Christ before them. We share Him verbally, but we also represent Christ before them. What's it like in your homes on Sunday mornings? Is there a debate about whether or not worship will happen? Is there a debate about whether or not we'll even make it this Sunday? Or is that a given that when Sunday morning comes, this is what we're going to do? And I'm going to hold you before Christ, and I'm going to give Christ to you. Christ became manifest to us. What that means is that a body was hung upon love, and love then was expressed to us within that body. And as we have been given that gift of love, then it becomes ours, as 1 John tells us, that as no one has ever seen God, if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. That perfected means made complete. That means that as we go about our daily lives and we interact with others, as we go about our daily lives, we reflect the love that God has given to us. The characteristics you saw reflected in the story we read in Luke that was in Joseph, that even in his time of disappointment, he thought about another. He could have gone and made himself look important. See how righteous I am. See how holy and good I am. That woman was unfaithful to me, and I'm holding her up in front of you because I am a holy and a righteous man. But in his holiness and in his righteousness, in his seeking to do good, he thought about the well-being of another. He put himself in that position that even though he could have, he put himself in that position. And he said, I'm going to treat her with grace and let her have dignity in this. And so as we live before our children, may we never lose sight of the fact that how we live our lives before them teaches them so much more than what we express to them with our words. Grandparents, as you live your lives in front of your children, how you live your lives teaches them much more than what you express to them with your words. The importance of worship is expressed by how we live our lives. The importance of loving others is expressed by how we live our lives. The importance of loving God is expressed by how we live our lives. The reflection of the love of God that is ours in Christ is expressed by how we live our lives. And so, as Scripture reminds us, we are to inject our attitudes into the love that we have for others. Our attitude of love. As God loves us, not as imperfect we love, but always striving for that standard of how does God love us? We talked in our Sunday school this morning about Ephesians 5 and how it talks about husbands loving wives as Christ loved the church, a self-sacrificial love. As God reached out to us, He reached out to mankind with the gift of the Christ child that was going to be a gift of self-sacrificing love. Everything Christ did, He did as with an attitude of a servant. Philippians tells us that He gave up what He was in heaven and He came to live the life of a servant. He came to serve because that's what God needed Him to do. He came to serve out of love to accomplish the task that God had for Him. And He stayed faithful to that task all the way through the cross. That's what Philippians tells us. And He gave that as an example to the rest of us. That we are to live our lives in a way that expresses that same sacrificial gift of love that is ours in Christ Jesus. We love with the same love that was shown to us. And we express that love in how we love others. Never lose sight of the fact that Christian love, biblical love, is looking out for the well-being of another, having their best interest at heart. Whether it's our spouses or our children or the people that we work with or the folks that we meet in a grocery store or others around us, living in a loving way means that we have others' best interest at heart. Giving them the benefit of the doubt. Giving them encouragement. Showing them the light of Christ that is ours in that gospel. And if we love like that, then we will be sharing the light of Christ. We will be giving others hope, peace, joy, and especially that love this Christmas. Because you never know how easy it is just to brighten somebody's day with a good attitude. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank You this day that You have given us the gift of Christ. And Father, we pray that we can give the gift of Christ this Christmas. May it be on our hearts and our minds how we can share Him, not only with our families, but with all with whom we come in contact. Father, we all fall so short of what true love is. Teach us true love, and may we find it in our relationship with Christ. May we be filled to the brim so that it overflows and touches all of us, all those around us. And we ask this in His name. Amen.